Well, praise God. We are going to have a great time tonight learning about the truth of God's word. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are awesome. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God, you are here with us now. And all your words are true. And more than that, you are truth itself. And Father, I pray tonight that for every person in this room and every person then listening on the website, that you will set people free. By the end of this module, lives will be totally changed because a light switch is on and people get revelation. I want fresh revelation as well, God, as to how awesome you are, how mighty you are. And as a result of that, things in each of our lives is going to begin to change. Hope is going to come alive. Our futures are going to change in terms of the cooperation with your Holy Spirit and all we can enter into. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, basically, we can narrow truth and lies down to, and you don't have to go too far into the Bible to see the truth being contended by the enemy. And that's been his story ever since. He's had years to practice it, and he's very good at lying. And in Genesis, you only have to get to chapter 3, Genesis being the first book in the Bible. In fact, in Genesis 2, we won't go into it too much, but basically God had said to Adam when he placed him in the Garden of Eden, which was really, you can call it paradise, you can eat from any tree you like, but don't eat from the tree called the tree of knowledge, the good knowledge of good and evil. And in chapter 3, to jump at it now, so we've had God's word, God's light spoken. The devil will always challenge God's word in people's lives. And in Genesis 3, we see this come about. And in Genesis 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from the tree in the garden?'" Now that has been the devil's remit ever since. For you and for me as believers, he will, when God gives you his word, when God gives you a promise, when God says something about you being a new creation, whatever it is, the devil will always come along to you and try and steal the promise. Did God really say, "I have a plan and purpose for your life"? Did God really say, "All your sins can be forgiven"? Did God really say, when you're facing a difficulty in your family, that he would redeem and bring you through it? The devil will do everything he can to destroy the promises of God over your life. In fact, just jumping ahead to Revelation, of course, and I haven't studied for this bit this evening, but it gives a kind of picture of when Jesus Christ was there waiting to be born in the gift to earth, and the serpent waiting to snatch the gift and destroy the gift in that way. And so the enemy, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, will do anything he can to destroy God's truth operating in and through your life or mine, because God knows that the enemy knows that the truth is powerful. The truth will see people healed, set free, born again. The truth will liberate people mentally. The truth will set people totally free. And because the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy, he'll do anything to oppose God's work and plan in our lives. Now, the second scripture we can look at is in Galatians 3 and verse 1. It's funny that Genesis 3 and verse 1 mentions this, and then Galatians 3 and verse 1 says this. And this is where the Apostle Paul is talking to a church in Galatia, and the people are called Galatians. And he's talking to a church that had got free from law and actually had moved into the grace of God, the freedom of God. Now, this is hilarious. Well, it's not. Oh, the next one's a hilarious one. But listen to this. "You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Are you beginning with the spirit? After you're beginning with the spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? And what's happening here, to keep it really simple, is, and the point I want to highlight tonight is, even for us Christians, we can be moving with God 1 minute and then going back to our old ways another minute. And the Apostle Paul is not talking to people that have never known Jesus. He's talking to a church saying, you're foolish. 1 minute, you know, you were going around observing the law. Then Jesus Christ comes and you know freedom and life. And now you're going back. You're being deceived. What the enemy is trying to do is bring you back into bondage and keep you living in everything that God has for you. And again, just remember these principles in your own life and let them be highlighted tonight. The enemy will do anything to keep you and me from living in the best God has for us. He'll use through temptation, unbelief, discouragement, depression. He'll do anything he can to stop us walking in the truth of what God has said. Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it was really for nothing? Does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you've heard? And so basically the law was what was given in the Old Testament, which was basically we all had to try to be good and be these good, wonderful people and please God. And God soon sussed out it was impossible for people to do that because we're human beings. So grace and peace came through Jesus Christ, and Jesus enables us to live for him. And basically, we can take this even from tonight. Stop trying. I've been so at peace today. In the natural, I'd have been keyed up. How's it going to go tonight? What's God going to do? And God just said to me today, he said, look, you don't try. Just live in the overflow of my goodness today. Have a great day. And just tonight will just be an extension of my goodness on your life today. I couldn't come back under law and try under my own effort, because the Spirit doesn't move through the law. The Spirit moves through grace, and he graces us to live for him. Now, this next subject we will not expand on, and you'll see why in a minute, and that's from Galatians 5 and verse 7. And he was again saying that, and this is just to teach us how the enemy can cut in. Galatians 5 and verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? This is to a church. You were running a good race. You were living in the power and life and love of Jesus Christ. Who cut in on you? Who cut in on Eve? Well, it's the enemy. Who cut in and said to her, did God really say? It was the enemy. But her mistake was she listened to him and she stopped believing that God had said, you must not eat from this tree. And that same remit and battle's been going on ever since. Did God really say that healing's possible through the blood of Jesus? Did God really say that miracles can happen when a medical diagnosis is so negative? Did God really say it's worth praying? He will do anything to rob you and me of the promises of God. Now listen to this. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. So someone was trying to persuade the Galatians to basically, if I can put it this way, get back into circumcision. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is, can I just say personally, I'd rather live in grace than under the law in this situation. The one who's throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Mark the next bit. The enemy will throw you into confusion if you get your eyes off of the truth. Now, this is just to set a real scene here, because the power, the enemy is scared stiff of a submitted Christian to God's word. He doesn't mind church attenders in the sense of just rocking up at church. He doesn't mind people that listen to the word and say, oh, that's nice. He is dead scared of a believer who takes hold of the truth of God's word and moves in the power and anointing of it, which is why swathes of denominations at the moment and all the rest of it are becoming so liberal and giving in to what the world is telling them how they should live and what they should believe. It's mad. I don't go to any group out there and judge them, and I don't go to any group and tell them how that group should live, but there's groups out there telling churches what they should and shouldn't believe. It's the enemy, because the enemy knows if he can get churches compromising the truth, the church becomes powerless, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not about a political agenda or judging anyone or saying what we're against or this, that, and the other. I'm not against anyone. I'm for the word of God. But what I will not stand for is people telling me that the word of God is not right. It's the devil. He's been, look, this is nothing new. He's been doing it for thousands of years. And listen to this, how it goes on. The one who's throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I'm still preaching circumcision, I mean, you'd think these guys would be pleased that they didn't have to be circumcised anymore. Hands up, guys. But listen to how this works out. Why I'm still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Eye-watering? Guys, if you're going to preach circumcision, stuff you, just cut the whole lot off. Go and have you just go and do that to yourself if you want it, but I'm living under grace. I mean, that is eye-watering. This is in the Bible. Jade, I know you haven't been to many teaching sessions, but it's in here, I promise you. Listen, guys, this is real. And the Apostle Paul is here. He's so adamant that he will not have people cut in and bring people back into legalistic bondage and law and rob people of moving in the truth. You, my brothers, it says, were called to be free. Praise you, Jesus. Guys, if you're never grateful for anything else, praise God, you're called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. So that's the introduction, really, to where we're going with this whole thing about the battle behind truth and lies. You can see from all of this that the devil is the liar. He's the deceiver. He comes along and he kind of twists things. He twists what God has said and he deceives. He deceives. And a deceived person thinks they're right, otherwise they wouldn't be deceived. That's the thing with dealing with deception. A deceived person is adamant they're right. Otherwise, they're not deceived. And so that's why I always say when I'm teaching or preaching, and when you're witnessing to people, make sure that you can back it up with the word of God. Because there's no power in my opinion. Jesus didn't die for my opinion. In fact, he doesn't give a rip about my opinion. What he wants is my opinion to line up with his word. Then there's power behind God's word. And I often have to submit to God's truth as well. My feelings will often, or my circumstances will often be contrary to what God says. But someone who loves God will bring their feeling and circumstances, and what they believe in line with what God says. And when you do that, your feelings and circumstances change. It's called faith. And the scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I hope you hear the kind of adamancy in the spirit. You know, let's go with this. So what is truth? Well, we should be saying, who is truth? God is truth. And I've printed all these scriptures out for you so you can have them towards the end. But John 14, verse 6 is the first one. And it says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to me, to the Father, except through me. So this is wonderful. When Jesus comes to live in your heart and life, truth comes to live in your heart and life. And your spirit, basically, your soul life becomes, your spirit life becomes alive, and you start to see things differently, because outside of God, your spirit life is dead. Now, I'm not going to unpack all of that right now, but basically, Jesus lives in us when we get born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that means truth lives in us. We take on like a new nature, but it's a truth nature. You become enlightened, if you like, to who God is and what he is. Jesus says, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through me. Now, I want to be careful. There's not one religion or person of any religion that I don't love or have hatred towards. Fine, because God is love. I'm not judging any religion or anything else, but Jesus claims, and I believe what Jesus says because it's in the Word, the only way to get born again and to come to the Father is through salvation in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why I'm a believer. Just watch Shrek if you want to hear the song. I'm a believer, I'm a believer, I'm a believer. I believe, and I believe not through arguing every point, but through the experience that I had when I got born again. When I gave my life to Jesus and all the addiction fell off and all the other stuff came off, it was the first night I'd slept well in years. And I'm not going into my testimony now, but I may not have known a word in the Bible. I knew a bit of it, but what I knew was something had happened in me. I just knew that I knew that I knew that something had changed in my heart and life. God had come to live in me. I just knew there was something different. I used to not be able to sleep at night through fear, worries, nightmares, everything else that was going through, stuff I'd exposed myself to. The minute I got born again, no one could ever persuade me. I didn't get born again on a biblical argument. I got born again through an invitation to put my trust in Jesus. Then all the other stuff followed through. That's the right way round. So if you say to me, well, how do you know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? I'll say, yeah, it's in the Bible. But the reason I believe what's in the Bible is because I've met him. I've met with truth. There's a song that says, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. The Apostle Paul says, I'm utterly persuaded. That doesn't come from a theological argument. It's good to know what's in there and what's behind the experience, but it comes from encounter. So Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. And then how do we know what light is? Now we're going to highlight the truth side of things for a minute. God is light. Light isn't just blinded by the light. Though Saul was and knocked off his donkey. Maybe that's where that song came from. But in 1 John 1:5-10, it says, this is the message we've heard from him and declared to you. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Now that's a challenge for my Christian life and yours. We're all a work in progress, but there's no deception or shadows or halves in God. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And when the enemy rose up against him in heaven, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. God wasn't going to have any darkness around him. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And then let's continue to read what it says. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Why? Because darkness comes from the enemy, and you cannot fellowship with God and the enemy. You can't have both. You can still know God loves you if you're born again, but you can't walk in light with him and be close to him in fellowship with him. It's where conviction of sin comes from if you're mucking around with the enemy. There's another song that says, don't dance with the devil. He'll make a fool out of you. He's crafty and he's cunning. So that's why, by God's grace and encouraging one another, we need to be full on for God. And praise God, when we do mess up, we can get forgiven quickly. But let's not lose sight. Let's not treat it, oh, I can get forgiven. I can get right with God again. Yes, we can, but that's not the point. The point is God wants us to be walking in the power of his light, seeing miracles happen, seeing our children blessed, seeing our family blessed. When people say this is going on, say, no, it's not in Jesus' name. This isn't going to happen, but this is going to happen. If you mess with darkness, you lose the power. You lose the power of walking in the light. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And that's interesting as well, that I can meet someone that I've never met before who's born again and walked with God all their life, and I can feel like I've known them for years, you know, spirit-filled, godly man or woman. there's instant oneness because I know they feel like a brother or sister because I know they hang around the Father. I just know I could have, I don't need to get to know them. I just know they love Jesus. And that's what it's all about. And it says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, sometimes when people have left the church here for different reasons and they've gone off on one, they've gone into sin or whatever, they'll say to me things like, we'll still be friends. And as much as I want to be friendly, I've lost the fellowship with them because they're no longer walking in the light or fellowship with the Father. And that fellowship we have primarily comes from our fellowship with the Father. I find it really hard with Phil, who's our elder here, on a Sunday morning. If I'd been out partying all night and I had a ripping hangover and, you know, I'd been swearing all night, and he says, hi, Pastor Dave, how are you today? And I looked him in the eye and said, I'm great. I think he'd see something and smell something not quite right. My fellowship is through my submission and oneness with the Spirit. Now, hold that. This is meant to be convicting, but you need to know about the grace of God. But the grace of God is to bring us back to that wonderful place. Sometimes we fall from that wonderful place if we don't understand how wonderful it is and what he's offering. So hold on to your horses for a minute. The blood of Jesus purifies us of all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's an amazing promise, and it's achieved through the blood of Jesus. When I work with people, especially Christians, if someone wants to wind me up, just try and cover up what you did wrong. God hates it. If someone's done something wrong, and it's someone working for me or doing something like that, I'd rather they just said, I messed up, I got it wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I can handle that. That's what God's like. But you can't hide from God. And we're not to hide from one another in the right context of that. You see, the devil's the king of excuses and cover-ups, darkness. But God is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. And our fellowship is safe because we don't judge one another. Our fellowship is light. I can say to Phil, I got this wrong. And by the way, remember your sermon about not judging me 4 weeks ago. Just to put that into reminder, but it's okay to get it wrong if our heart is to walk in unity and to remain in the light of Jesus Christ. You see, there's no fear in love. For the perfect love of God drives out all fear. And fear has to do with punishment. If I get it wrong, maybe because of my past, I've been punished, I've had this out of the other things that have gone wrong. But that's not the God way, because what that says, if you get it wrong, everyone's out to get you and push you down and abuse you and hurt you or whatever else, depending on what your past has been. But in God, it's different. I got it wrong. Oh, let me forgive you. But as long as you repent, and God sees your heart, God, please forgive me. Relationships are safe in God because we don't judge one another. Now, it's a learning curve for all of us. We ebb and flow a bit with that, but that's why the Christian life is so amazing, because we're continuously fellowshipping, reminding ourselves of things. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. God loves an honest sinner. God loves an honest sinner. God, I've messed up. I've screwed up. I've really messed my life up. I've lived independently of you. God, will you come and live in me? Will you forgive my sin? Pastor Colin, when we were working at Roffey, had an office down a corridor. And something he used to love. I remember one girl, she really went in there and swore her head off, lost it with him, really let it all out. And he loved it because he could love her and help her, because there was nothing to hide. It was all there. What he didn't like was people come in and beat about the bush and have an agenda and a hidden motive going on. God hates that. The proverb says, a dishonest scales the Lord abhors. He'd rather you were honest with him, because he's light and he knows it anyway. Isn't he amazing? Every thought, God, I've been having these thoughts. God, I've been struggling with this. He says, I know, but thanks for being honest. God is light. I love it that the prostitute story in the New Testament, I mean, this woman, there's no mucking around here. It didn't say she had committed adultery. It said she was caught in the act of adultery. She was caught doing it. Can I put it like that? I mean, there's no polite way you can smile. And she was caught in the act. Now, I don't know how that happened. Maybe she wasn't discreet. Maybe she was in the park. Maybe someone went into a room by mistake, but she was caught. And everyone rose up in judgment against her, and they were going to stone her. Jesus comes along, writes something in the sand, looks at everyone and says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, they put their rocks down and walked away. And Jesus looked at her and said, is anyone left here to condemn you? Anyone hung around? No, she said. Jesus, of course, knew. He said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Isn't Jesus the light of the world? He brings light and takes all our darkness out through his blood when we ask him and invite him into our lives. And that's wonderful. And that's what he's good at. But remind yourself today, be honest with him all the time. Be honest with him. Don't cover anything up. God is light. He is truth. In him, there's no darkness at all. We're going to see the opposite to that in a minute, but we need to unravel some of this. Revelation 15:3-4 says, great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. All of that is to say, we worship a God whose acts are righteous, just and true. If someone doesn't get born again and lives their life separate from God, lives their own plans and purposes, God is totally just in them being separated from him forever, because he's provided someone who will justify us, Jesus Christ, through whom we can be justified and then live eternally with God. He's made a way. It'd be a cruel God if he says, I'm making no way back for you to come and get right with me. But he's just in all his ways. He's a just God. And if I ever find myself questioning God, it's like, God, I might not know why this is happening or whatever, but you are just. You are right, and in your righteousness I stand, and your righteous acts towards me will be revealed. Revelation 16, verse 7, and I heard the altar respond, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. Psalm 89, 14-18 says, this is in the Message version, the right and justice are the roots of your rule. The right and justice are the roots of your rule. Love and truth are its fruits. How you know you're hanging around God is because love and truth is the outworking of his justice and righteousness. Blessed are the people who know the passwords of praise, who shout on parade in the bright presence of God. Delighted, they dance all day long. They know who you are, what you do. They can't keep quiet. God, you're amazing. You're fantastic. You saved. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I didn't deserve it. By grace, I'm saved. God, thank you. When I was on my way to living eternally apart from you, you rescued me from the power of sin and darkness and the bondage of the enemies and the pain and the hurt that had come into my life. And you set me free and brought me into your light and your truth. Your vibrant beauty's gotten inside us. You've been so good to us. We're walking on air. Sounds like a Nike advert. All we are and have, we owe to God, holy God of Israel, our King. So this paints a picture of who God is, how amazing he is. He is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. His whole foundation and being is founded in that light. Now, I'm just going to teach for no more than 10, 15 minutes, and then we're going to see where we're at, have an MOT check with regard to, are we full of light? Are we full of darkness? Have we got a little bit of in my life? A little bit of a little bit of God would be nice, but a little bit of the enemy's hanging around a bit too much and it's not working too well. That takes us back to our Austria holiday, doesn't it, Joel? That was hilarious. Anyway, let's cheer ourselves up some more. So we've done God is light, God is truth, God is light. Now we're going to look at the father of lies. The father of lies. That's who the enemy is. It was the father who lies and is the father of lies. Who met with Eve in the garden and said, did God really say? John 8, 31 to 47 in the New Living Translation says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, you are truly my disciples if you hold to my teachings, remain faithful, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the people, these were the religious people of the day, turned around and said to him, but we're descendants of Abraham, they said. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you'll be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you're truly free. Yes, I realize that you're descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. These people were pretending they were hearing from God. They were the religious order of the day. And yet Jesus is saying, you're not recognizing who I am. You're not recognizing the truth. I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father. In other words, Jesus is saying, the father you're claiming to be your father, my father, isn't your father at all. Now that's straight to the point. The one you're claiming God to be your father, religious order of the day, he's not your father at all. I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you're following the advice of your father. Our father is Abraham, they declared. No, Jesus replied. For if you were really the children of Abraham, you'd follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth. That's how much the enemy is against the truth. If you've ever had problems witnessing, sharing Jesus, or people taking the rip out of you because you're born again, and you're standing up for something unjust that's happened in your life behind it in the heavenly realms, because the Bible says our flesh isn't against flesh and blood, but principalities and power in the heavenly realms. There's a whole thing going on up there in the atmosphere in the heavenly realm. It's because the enemy hates the truth, and he hated Jesus so much and the truth that he was out to kill him. And in Matthew, it tells us in the Beatitudes that blessed are you when people say all kinds of things against you and persecute you and all the rest of it, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if you walk in the light and in the truth, you will have an enemy that will oppose the truth. We've had the enemy opposing this church for years. It's nothing new. He will oppose anything good from God, and he'll oppose you if you're walking in the light. Abraham never did such a thing. In other words, Abraham never tried to kill me. No, you are imitating your real father. Called Jesus is getting strong here. They replied, we aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father. And Jesus told them, if God, this is light and darkness becoming clear. If God were your father, you would love me because I've come to you from God. Wow. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. The times I've had opposition here and with the church, because we're going for God and his plans and purposes. And you turn around and say, no, this, we're just standing for God's plans and purposes. But the religious order of the day will always oppose the freedom in Christ that he wants to bring into people's lives, because that type of religion puts people into bondage. And we saw what the Apostle Paul had to say, that I wish they'd go and chop the whole lot off instead of muck about me. You just go and do that if you want to live like that. But I'm living in grace and freedom of Jesus. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are children of your father, the devil. I mean, this was the equivalent of the vicars he was talking to and the bishops. This was the equivalent of them. This is Jesus telling them, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was. Now, this is where Jesus describes the devil. And we need to understand that we've just seen that God is light and truth. And it says that he was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. This is describing our opponent. I tell you the truth. You just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truly accuse me of sin? And since I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. He nailed the religious order of the day in that lot. He was saying, you're pretending to know God, but you're not living like you are. You're pretending to walk in the light, but you're not. And he says, your whole motive isn't to please God, but it's to please yourself. John 10:10, as it's describing this, says the thief. It describes God as light, but the devil as a thief. And it says the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. Every negative you've ever seen, every abuse, every hurt, every tear, every painful thing that's had violence or aggression in it is birthed in the heavenly realms from the work of the devil, the thief, who's come to rob people of the life and try and persuade them God isn't real. He's come to try and rob people of the life God created them for. And it says the thief only comes to kill, steal and destroy. He comes, he's come, and his job is to stop Mary and me and my family and the church and those I love having everything God has for them. That's why I pray and fast and I declare the power of the kingdom of God, because this thief is a defeated foe, but you have to know how to deal with him in the power of God and take authority. And that's a whole nother teaching thing, how to do that. But nevertheless, he will do anything he can to stop me and my family and the church having the life that God has come to give it. He has an assignment against me to kill, steal and destroy. But there's a more powerful assignment that's for me. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And the authority of God is stronger than the authority of the enemy. I just need to make sure that I live and move and have my being in the authority of God. And it's other teaching as to how to apply that authority. Amen. Well, at least we can see this evening where things go wrong and all of that stuff. We know where it's authored from. That wonderful hymn, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? I'm on the Lord's side. And it's something that God will work in us. And more, less and less of the enemy's control in our lives as we yield to God and move on with God and submit our lives to him comes forth. But there is so much, I believe, when we're not right with God, that almost gives the enemy permission to mess things up, because we're not standing in the place in the heavenly realm that God has for us. He's given us a territory, if you like, a field of influence, Paul says, that he will not boast beyond his. I know if I get into compromise and half-heartedness and step back, I'm really stepping out of the place of authority and influence I have in the heavenly realm, and I'm giving the enemy space. It's like having your office desk at work and leaving your wallet or handbag on it, and it's your private phone line for the work and everything else, and you just say, oh, I'm just out of the office for a month, and anyone can just come and mess, because you're not in the place where you should be. in the heavenly realm. There's too much to talk on this tonight, but basically there's a place of light and life under the authority of God that God's created every human being to occupy in the heavenly realm. Yeah, and the enemy wants to destroy us from that place. And I don't want to live a mediocre Christian life. I want to live in the best God has for me. Nearly there. The truth that prevails, and the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. That's the encouraging thing, isn't it? God is stronger than the devil, basically. But we all put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it and is unreceptive to it. So basically that's saying, okay, God's truth prevails, even though we have this thief. But let's recognize we have this thief. And if we step out and muck about, things ain't going to work too well. God is light, powerful, clarity. And that's costly. That's where we need to encourage each other and help each other. I've really struggled fasting today, especially since I've gotten to these cookery courses. And I made this delicious tomato, Jamie Oliver tomato soup yesterday, and croutons with basil and olive oil and Worcester sauce, and that's been in the fridge yelling at me all day. I need you. Well, you're going to have me in about an hour. But I just knew, just to be in the place God wants me to be today, that there's a cost to following Jesus sometimes, and we take up our cross. It's not always easy. There's a battle going on, but we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because darkness, when you walk in the light, can never overpower the light. Psalm 45, just before we finish here with the teaching thing. And in your majesty, God, ride on triumphantly for the cause of, this is God, truth, humility and justice. As some people say righteousness, some versions. In other words, uprightness and right standing with God, and let your right hand guide you to tremendous things. Again, this is talking about God rides forth on behalf of truth, humility and justice. He's a powerful God. He's the awesome God. But we need to live in the light. Amen. For the sake of the teaching and recording, which we're about to finish now, and then we're going to get into a time of prayer and ministry for the last part of the evening. We've just written here, let's get practical. And we're going to be looking at how we live, think, talk. And then we're going to go through some things on how to make it work. And but basically, for the sake of the recording, basically I'd encourage you to read over these scriptures and just ask God to speak into your life and appropriate them. And we're going to get more practical next week with the teaching as well, and see what some of this battle between light and darkness looks like. God bless. Everyone's going to yell out goodbye.